The reading is taken in the first letter to Peter and will be found on page 1217 in the Church Bible. 1 Peter, beginning at verse 13. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it is not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. This is the word of the Lord.
So my question at the beginning of our thoughts about this passage, how good do you feel about yourself right now? 1 to 10, how good? I'm feeling pretty high. I managed to get through a baptism with Jackson, Casey May, and we didn't like electrically short the sound system or anything like that. How good do you feel about yourself right now between 1 and 10? I'll tell you right now, last night I couldn't sleep. I felt about a 1 or a 2. How good do you feel about yourself right now? Self-esteem is a big deal. We're told that all the time. A series of generations, anyone up to really about the age of 40 now, have been brought up believing you, if you're in that generation, you've been brought up believing that if only you believe in yourself, you will succeed in life. You've heard things like that? But here's the weird thing. That generation has at least as high, if not a higher, incidence of mental health issues as those who went before. Right? So that's a problem with this idea, isn't it? If only you believe in yourself, you'll succeed in life. But the worst part of it is, it's really devastating when you fail. It's like the worst sort of the loss of faith. A loss of faith is bad at any time. But how much more devastating when you are the one you've lost your faith in. And that's why people are in such a mess. But our culture, our world is not wrong in looking for self-esteem. They're just looking for the right thing in the wrong place. This is what our culture does. This is what people around us do. This is what school encourages you to do. If you want to feel better about yourself, look inwards. And find all the good stuff about you, take it out, enlarge it, polish it up, and then hold on to it for dear life. You look in at yourself, you say, what is there in me that's of value? But the thing is, it never turns out to be enough to look in. You then got to try and get other people to agree. Other people to say, yeah, David, you are special. Yeah, you're all right. And the worst part of that is you're looking to other people, but in order to get them to agree with you, you're going to have to cover up the rubbish. And so you're thinking, oh, they agree with my view of myself, but hang on, they don't know the truth. And that leaves you afraid of discovery, which in turn destroys your self-esteem. Now this really matters, right? You're thinking, well, why is he talking about this? Well, just seeing the number of children here, it matters. I used to have young children, they're now really old. But I used to have young children. And you know, young children, great. Well, apart from the sleep thing. Great, they're lovely, they're brilliant. They're a lot of fun, a lot of life. But it's also terrifying, bringing up a young child. Because you're thinking, how do I make sure? How do I guarantee they're not messed up by me? There's that famous, is it Philip Larkin? We're not going to go into it, poem now. But how am I going to make sure I don't mess up my children? Now, this is why you want to listen today. If you've got children, you want to know, how am I going to make sure I don't mess up my children? But actually, it's not just children. How am I going to make sure I don't mess myself up? How do we find real self-esteem? Well, actually, baptism points us to the answer as it connects with our passage today. And we're going to see the answer is not to look in and it's not to look out. It is to look up to God. We're going to see in two verses today that for the followers of Jesus, those who choose to follow Jesus, that's what a Christian is, someone who gives their life, says, Jesus, you're number one. For those, they have been set free at an amazing cost to be incredible. Set free at an amazing cost to be incredible. These are the verses here. Peter says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Now I'm guessing you're thinking, what? That was loads of stuff in there. And you're right, it is. And we're going to try and unpack it now. First, he says, you have been redeemed. This word redeemed means set free. That's why that's our first point, set free. You have been redeemed, set free. But it's like set free, a slave who's been set free. And a slave is only set free when they can pay the price for their freedom. They can't just say, I want to be set free today. I believe I'm free. I'm free. No, they're not. A price has to be paid for them to be set free. But in order to be set free, we first need to recognize our chains, admit our problems, see our slavery. Now, our culture, the people around you will say that's unhealthy. Just concentrate on the good stuff. But that just leads us to the fear of discovery and the devastation of failure. No wonder our minds and our hearts can't handle it. No wonder our children are damaged by this seriously dangerous creed that if only you believe in yourself, you'll succeed. Has that worked for you? It's not worked for me. Okay, so what's the problem? Let's dive in before we find how we're set free in the most amazing way. The first thing it says here, you have been redeemed with the precious blood of... you were redeemed, set free, remember, from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. What does that mean, like, way of life handed down to you from your ancestors? It just simply means your parents. It means that our culture right now was handed down to us by the generation above. And that's the world we live in, like the society we live in. It's values, it's likes, it's dislikes, it's technology, everything else. And Peter says it's empty. It's empty. Do you know why you have a problem with self-esteem? You have a problem with self-esteem because there is this gaping chasm that sucks up all meaning for you. Right? Let me give you a few examples of how empty our life is. We run around trying to get more stuff because we think more stuff will make us happy. But we know it won't because it never has. It makes us happier for a bit, but then it fails, right? But worse than that, in order to get the stuff, we work harder and harder and harder, right? And we end up being miserable. Work starts becoming our slave master. It's empty. And then one day we'll die and we can't take it with us. Another form of our emptiness is entertainment at the moment. Now, entertainment's good, it's good to be entertained. But we're using it to distract ourselves from the reality of how hard things are. Whether it's box sets or shopping or eating or pornography or social media, we're just consuming to try and fill the void. And then there's this desperate attempt to try and stay looking young and attractive, which is a desperate attempt, let me tell you. It is swimming against not just a tide, but it's like trying to swim up the Niagara Falls, right? This hairline is not coming back. It's gone. These wrinkles can only be covered up. Well, and soon it'll be like trying to cover up the Grand Canyon. It's just pointless. But we do it. It's empty. But it's not just empty. Earlier in our passage, it says this: as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. He's saying, remember what you were like before you followed Jesus. You followed your evil desires. Do you want to know a sign of how things are wrong with us? A big sign for me of how things are wrong with me. It's not just that I do stuff that I later discover is wrong. It's not even just that I do stuff I know is wrong, but I really want to do it anyway. Do you know a real sign of how I'm a slave and how you're a slave? We do stuff we know is wrong and we don't want to do, but we still go and do it. We slag somebody off. We shout at our partner. We shout at our child. We lie. We cheat. We don't want to be that person. We don't want to be a lighter liar. We don't want to be a cheater. We don't want to be a shouter. But we end up doing it. I know we're going really into it, thinking, David, this is not helping my self-esteem. But hold on here a second. It does show us that we're enslaved and we need to be set free. Now, the way of our ancestors, the way of our culture, the way of slavery says, have faith in yourself. You can be everything you hope for. Well, how can be when we are bound by chains, when our lives are empty? But there is another way. Peter says this: through Jesus, you believe in God, who raised Jesus from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. You don't need to put your hope in yourself. You don't need to put your faith in yourself. You can put your faith in God. And that is a sure and safe place. So what does that look like when we do that? What does it look like? Well, it explodes self-esteem. Let me give you an example of this. But before we do, let me ask you another question. I asked you at the beginning, how good do you feel about yourself? Let me ask you another question. How much do you think you're worth financially? Let's be honest here. Let's get cards on the table. How much do you think you're worth financially? It says here, it talks about silver and gold, buying your freedom from this empty way of life. How much do you think you're worth? Do you know, I know exactly how much you're worth. Do you know that? You are worth precisely £15,120. I promise you, that is the law. That is how much you're worth. If you have an accident and you die, right, your next of kin will get that amount of money. That's what you're worth. That's the amount of silver and gold your life is worth. That is what somebody would have to pay for you. But then we discover something amazing. A far greater price has been paid for you. If you follow Jesus, if you choose to follow Jesus, it says this: you weren't bought from slavery, from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Christ here is Jesus. Here it's referring to his death on the cross. And we discover a number of things about this. First is, this is how valuable you are. Jesus gave his life for you. God himself gave his life for you. Not just he died peacefully in his bed. He died in agony for you. That is how much you are worth. That is the price that is paid for you. That means if God himself gives his life for you, you, if you follow Jesus, are the most valuable thing in this universe. The most valuable thing in this universe. Because Jesus gave his life for you. But more than that, it tells us that you were bought with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Now, what's that about? Well, that refers to this idea of sacrifice. In the olden days, when people wanted to go to be made right with God, they knew they'd rejected him, they knew they'd messed up, they knew they were dirty on the inside. And they said, how can I be made right with God? Something needs to pay the price. Something needs to give its life. And it was an animal. But it was only really a sign to the fact that Jesus would give his life for you so that you can be cleansed of all the mess. That's what baptism is about. It's a sign of you can be cleansed of all of the mess. So the first thing which makes you valuable, a great price has been paid for you. Jesus gave his life for you. Second, that you've been cleansed. The rubbish that you're afraid of has been washed away. And then the third thing is you are now God's child. It says this in verse 17, since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially. He says, God has become my father. I am a child, a beloved child. I am loved. That's what baptism's about. Jesus gave his life for you. That's the price paid for you. You have been cleansed, or you can be cleansed if you turn to Jesus, and you can become God's child. That's the great message. That's the great hope of self-esteem. It means we no longer need to look within to try and find something which makes us feel valuable and then try and hide the mess. We don't have to look out to get other people's approval and so become their slave and become anxious and paranoid about their judgments about us. We can look up. We can say, when we turn to Jesus, we can say, now I know the Son of God gave his life for me. I know I've been cleansed by his blood. I know I'm now God's child. Isn't that amazing? You've been set free at an amazing price. You are more valuable than anything else in this universe when you put your trust in Jesus. But finally, and very briefly, and so you're called to be incredible. It says here, but just as he who called you is holy, that's God is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. In other words, God, what is holiness? Holiness is God. It's who he is. It is how amazing he is. And Peter's saying, you have a chance to be like him. Not just that you've been washed clean, not just that a great price has been paid, not just that you're a child, but you can be the you you've always longed to be. Not disappointed by yourself, not spoiled by the things you've done wrong, but to know that you are truly precious, not because you are awesome in yourself, but because you are loved. Isn't that amazing thought? Now, if you're not a believer, if you've not given your life to Jesus, I just want to tell you, it's amazing. It's the answer to that void you feel in your heart. You're hearing God speak to you about that right now. You just need to go to Jesus. You want to know more about that? Talk to me. Talk to David in particular. He's doing some great work with Hope Explored. But if you're a believer, there's one final thing. Now that you know how amazing you are if you're a believer, now work at being amazing. Not work in order to become amazing. You are already that. You've been cleansed. Work at being amazing. And that's what Peter starts with. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires, but be holy. He says there's something you can do. Be alert and fully sober as you focus on Jesus and what he brings you. I love those two words, alert and fully sober. Alert means ready for action, and fully sober means clear thinking. Now, many of you know I'm quite a fan of rugby. And every once a year, Six Nations, I have to talk about rugby. I'm going to talk about rugby today, even though it was a very painful day yesterday. And the reason is, it was a painful day yesterday, not as painful as last year, when at the beginning of the match, one of the England rugby players, second row, got red carded about a minute into the game against Ireland. It was awful. And what happened was, he went flying into a tackle, his shoulder hit the head of the person being tackled, and that was a red card. Now, that second row was fully alert. He was ready for action at the beginning of that match. So we couldn't follow him so far. And I tell you, when you're about to start playing rugby, you have to get yourself up for it, because that first hit always hurts. So he had to be ready for action. But what he failed to be was fully sober, clear thinking. So you've got to try, believer, and do those two things. Be ready for action, always thinking, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to focus more on Jesus. I want to be the person I've been saved to be. So really fired up for it. But the other thing is be really clear thinking. Look around. What are the things which are pulling me away from him? And what are the things which will draw me closer to him? Because as I do that, I will increasingly be the incredible person I've already been saved to be. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that we don't have to play games with self-esteem anymore. We don't have to look within to try and find a reason why we are worth it, why we are valuable. Lord, for believers here today, I pray that we would claim that. We would stop chasing after other things to give us value, like our careers or anything like that, or relationships, or bigging ourselves up, or putting other people down. We just let go of all of that. And instead, with minds that are alert and fully sober, we will focus on the Lord Jesus. But Lord, there are people here today who don't know you, who haven't put their trust in the Lord Jesus. I'm so thankful that they're here today. And Lord, I pray that you would lead them to put their trust in Jesus, to make him number one, to give their lives to him, and so discover the solid ground on which they can stand. Amen.